Is Axie Infinity dying? And if so, what can we learn from it? You've heard of the Ford Model T, but how about the Model NFT? NFT ticketing is going to change sports forever, and another classic meme becomes a five-figure NFT. It's just another day in the Wild West of digital collectibles. Yeehaw! And we're here for every bit of it on the Nifty News episode number 96 of the Nifty Show.
Looking into the future, what do we see? It's lined with digital collectibles, we call them NFTs. Games, trading cards, digital art, and those crypto kitties. Travis and Joel are the hosts you'll know. Travis and Joel say this won't blow. They're locked and loaded, so ready, set, go! It's the Nifty, really kind of spiffy. The Nifty Show!
It's Nifty time once again with the world's oldest, first NFT podcast, pioneering the space of digital collectibles and broadcasting because we are teenagers and like to play with pixels. Welcome, Sir Lord Travis.
Welcome to episode number 96. Here we are. This is a good one here. There's some stuff that you and I have been talking about for literally a couple of years popping off on this particular episode here.
Quit popping off.
Can't help it, brother.
That's what we do. Popping off. Well, let's jump over to CoinGecko.com to get started with this and pulling up the NFT page. For those of you not yet familiar on CoinGecko, if you're at the main page, just they've got an NFT section here right now, and you just want to go ahead and click on NFTs and collectibles. It's newer on their site, and it shows you the collections that have the most trading volume. Cryptodes, never even heard of it, but the floor price on them is 3.42 ETH right now. Must have gone on sale this week. 7,025 total assets, 3,000 owners, and it is off to the races.
Yeah, 7,000 assets. That is Cryptodes. Didn't hear about it at all. Also, Creature World is this piece by this one artist, and this thing has taken off big time. And actually, they have some really cool mechanisms with this, where you need to collect seven of these certain pieces to do stuff. And then you have to work with other members in the community to get all seven. And so it was a really interesting, like, community building, crafting kind of a thing. You know how like with Blockchain Heroes, we had some members that were like, all right, well, send me over, you know, I need a couple of these and I'll send you this. And then whenever we do the snapshot, I'll send them back. And they kept track of it, all community driven, which was very cool. A similar thing happened in the ETH world over there with the Creature World.
Yeah, I actually had one of those and flipped it for a small profit. It would have been a bigger profit if I had held, but you know, all profit is good profit. Look at this Bored Apes, 39 ETH floor price. And Trev, you're still holding your Pudgy Penguin, right?
Actually, no, I just got rid of it for 2.8 ETH.
Oh, you did? You just sold it?
Yeah, I did.
Well, there you go. You're the floor right now. So welcome to the floor. Lazy Lions on the move.
Do you have any Lazy Lions?
I do not have any Lazy Lions.
I have a Lazy Lion. I have a really cool kind of a rarish one that I got for less than half an ETH. And now they're the floor on that's about 4 ETH.
I
like to mix and match some of these, check some new things out and try new things. And
I was lazy and missed it. So no Lions for me.
You know, what was funny was I saw that one. Whenever Carlos Gil mentioned it, he goes, oh, check out my Lazy Lion. And I was like, oh, those actually look kind of cool. I think I'll grab one.
It's funny watching other people that we've known from the marketing and social media world start to get it. You know, it's like, hello, we've been here beating the drum, but that's okay. We want to welcome people to,
you know what? You know, the rising tide lifts all ships. And we knew that this was going to happen. We knew more of the people that this is content. Like, NFTs are digital content, right? They're really cool pieces of content. They're advanced media. They can do lots of cool things. So it surprised me that it took a while for a lot of the folks to get on, but it is what it is.
Yeah, pretty soon they'll be writing books because they'll be the NFT experts. So that's fine. There's room for everybody here. So this article here on NFT Radar got our attention. Axie is dying. So, you know, I think he's making an assumption here. I think that, you know, they're definitely going down. The value of the tokens is down. I don't think AXS is down a whole lot. It hit a ridiculous high of around 80, and I think it's around 65 right now. But this article does some analysis on why Axie's economy is broken. And it's all about tokenomics, essentially, that there's not a balance to their tokenomics. Look at this craziness here. This is the price chart for their in-game currency, SLP. So I'm guessing
we've talked about that quite a little bit, where we've been like, oh man, what's SLP? But look at that. That's like a classic double top right there. If you're looking at stock pricing.
And what does that mean? What happens next?
Normally a double top happens and then the price goes down, which is exactly what happens. Well, especially had a double top and then you had this next one where it went up, but it didn't hit that top and then it went down. Like that's a good sign that it was going to go down. That's based on normal, stock market psychology and metrics. But I mean, this is a different thing. I've not actually played Axie Infinity because I looked at it and I go, these little fish looking weird things. I go, they just didn't resonate with me, but a lot of people made a lot of money. But they even started working on this thing back in 2018.
Right.
And there's little battles. There's arena battles. There's adventure battles. And you can play with other people. To me, it looks like a game that came out in like off Nintendo 64. It doesn't look special to me.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of the first to market. They've done a good job of, you know, a lot of the people in Philippines have been making full-time incomes greater than any job that a lot of them could get there before. But this guy postulates the reason that it's dying is that no matter how much you play, there's a fixed amount that you can earn. If the game would be fun to play, this would be a major demoralizing factor. There's a daily grind around it. And so if it's not fun and you're just doing a grind, then it's really not much of a game. It's not on the Google Play Store. So he says there's lack of trust. And apparently cashing in the tokens you earn, there's transfer fees that take a chunk of that because it's on Ethereum. So there's a lot of problems here with their infrastructure. And essentially he's saying their economy is unsustainable. So maybe it's time to sell the remaining AXS I have. I don't know. You know, can they bounce back?
Well, it's an interesting thing when you think about it, because Axie Infinity has been so huge for, you know, some developing countries. I think like in the Philippines, like it's just ginormous over there. There's been a lot of people who are utilizing this and supplementing their income in big ways. In some cases, earning as much just playing a couple of days as what they would earn in a month. And in some cases, multiple months, like especially as the price kind of started taking off. So, you know, hopefully it'll rebound. Most likely it probably will make some adjustments, but it says, if you're only playing, it doesn't matter what you play, you're gaining 75 SLPs a day. Every player mints at least 75 SLP every day, no matter if there are newcomers to leverage the SLP price or not. So every play, so basically this SLP thing over time is not going to be big because there's going to be so many of them in. You're going to hit 8 cents at one point, hit as low as 8 cents, and then made a lot of players quit. As you mentioned, yeah, the Philippines is huge. And so, you know, if Axie Infinity dies, there's going to be a whole lot of folks out there who are going to be sad. But as I mentioned, I never really played the game much. And I know that I didn't score any of the AXS tokens, but I did watch it. And we did talk about it on Bad Crypto. It was like, oh, look at the AXS grow. Like, we saw it. It was like, what, less than 10 bucks? And the next thing you know, it was 70, 80 bucks. Like, yeah. I think it's all.
Crazy hype does all kinds of insane things.
Wasn't it like $7 billion market cap at one point?
Yes, yes, crazy. It is funny. Lots of NFT projects now are looking to be charitable and give back with their project. And Binance Charity, who we've had on Bad Crypto before, is launching an NFT tree planting project, Tree Millions, to plant 10 million trees worldwide. Shouldn't it be called 10 millions? Because, I mean, I understand tree millions. If you were like going to plant 3 million trees, then tree millions would be awesome.
That would be. It's
10 million trees.
Or maybe they want to do 10 trillions.
So apparently this is an effort for reforestation to celebrate the UN Day of Forests on March 21st, 2022. They've already got 17 players in the crypto industry confirming help, and they want to have 100 by that day.
CZ, I love trees. Yeah, I love trees. I'll buy some NFT certificates.
I'm good with chlorophyll. I think it's important. I like breathing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. I love the way that trees, you know, they bring in, they breathe the carbon dioxide and then exhale oxygen. It's like a really nice thing. It's like something that we need on Earth, like, right?
CZ says the crypto industry is young and constantly evolving, so we recognize the role our industry needs to play in protecting the planet. Tree Millions is just one step towards mitigating our impact on the natural world. We'll keep innovating and collaborating to reduce this further. Blockchain tech is a powerful tool for building a fairer, more transparent, and more equal future. We're determined to continue unlocking this potential. Good job, CZ. Tree Millions.
You know how many civilizations ended up perishing because they ran out of trees? Because they would cut them down and use them for everything and then use them for fuel. And the next thing you know, they have no trees. They talked about that as like what happened in the Middle East way back in the day, that it was kind of a lush area and they cut down all the trees. And then next thing you know, you don't get enough rain, because if you cut too many trees down, that messes up.
Causes the land to erode. In fact, I was just yesterday, we're on Puerto Rico, and the island just west of us is an island shared by two nations, Haiti to the west and Dominican Republic on the east side of the same island. And the Dominican Republic is, you know, prosperous and lush and beautiful. And if you go to the other side of the border, Haiti, I mean, they're just poor, and the people there are treated horribly, and the land is overly deforested. And they actually zoom out. If you look at a satellite map of it, the road that divides the two countries, one of them is all lush, the other one's just a lot of dirt. It's like, and that's the result of them taking out too many trees, and the soil erodes and it's not healthy for stuff to grow. So that's a real thing. Trees are good, people. Trees are good.
Well, it's just your resources. Don't overextend your resources and utilize them all. You got to find and invent new ways to do things to get what you need. But yeah, Haiti is a sad scenario.
Perhaps instead we talk about Slovenia, Soror Travis. What's happening with the country of Slovenia?
All right, Slovenia is on track to become first country to launch its first only non-fungible token series. And it looks like it's going to be targeting tourism and the country's achievements and business developments and advancements, as well as the tourism stuff. So they're going to take cool photos that promote Slovenia. And hopefully one of the things that they do is take some photos of their beautiful women, because Slovenia has ridiculously beautiful women. And I was actually talking to my friend. I was like, you know, I studied Russian in the military. When I got in the military, I took the Defense Language Aptitude Battery Test. I was only in the military for 10 months, but they told me I was going to learn Spanish. I took this test. I got like a 144 out of 150. They told me I'm going to learn Spanish. They would sign me up. They'd never put me in Spanish. They put me in Arabic, and they put me in a really hard dialect of Arabic. I mean, all my buddies were like, they started out in their Arabic class, and I'm like having to pick up cigarette butts and dog shit. And for a month, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I would love it if I was in class with my friends, but no. So, and I go, the worst thing was, there was like about 150 people on our floor, and there was one bathroom. And and so I was like, well, look, I go, so I went to talk to my platoon sergeant. I was like, they told me Spanish, they put me in Arabic, and they go, well, tell you what, how about I get you transferred over to Russian? And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Russian had brand new barracks. There was like 2 to 3 people to a room. Everybody had their own bathroom instead of 150 people sharing a bathroom. And what was funny was, I was going through Russian, and I was in classes about 6 or 7 months in Russian. And then they stopped the classes because they had too many Russian linguists. And then they wanted half of us to learn Chinese. And I was like, no. But if they had told me that Eastern European women were so hot, like, I would have been the very best student. I was like, no. I'm going to stay here in Russian, and I'm going to go and finish. I'm going to go learn. It's going to be amazing. They didn't tell me. They told me there were some ugly babushka-looking chicks, but that's not the case.
Oh, that hindsight. So 2020, Sir Lord Travis.
I know. I would be so good at the Russian language if that's not the case.
But it's very, very sad for to be you as it is. All right, let's move on here with the news then. Good job, Slovenia. Diamond Hand Pass. NFT collection has been released by Wall Street Bets, and we actually just interviewed Jamie Rogozinski. This is going to be an interview on the Bad Crypto Podcast shortly. The founder of Wall Street Bets. Yes, that movement, the dude who started it all. And you can still go mint a Diamond Hand Pass NFT on their website, and there's allegedly benefits to it, and there's a Discord group and voting privileges and diamonds and hands. So there you go. You can go and check that out. The link to this story, along with all the other stories we're covering, in the show notes for this episode. If you want to see them, a link for yourself, that way you have them all in one place. nifty.show/96 will take you there.
I like this. Cryptopolitan, neutral, and authentic news. That's like a way of saying we're not biased, except we are biased to NFTs. We love them.
So. We love those NFTs. Let's talk about Ford, Sir Lord Travis.
What's going on with Ford? So you've heard, you mentioned at the top of the show, the Model T. And here is they're going to be doing a new NFT. Are they going to be creating NFTs out of their vehicles? It seems to me that they're going to be doing some things along with their new digital branding of utilizing NFTs in some way.
I mean, yeah, they're saying they're going to explore this, but we don't really know what they're going to do with it yet. We're going to look at this. We're going to do digital things like NFTs is what they say.
Yeah. Well, Alexandra Ford English is 33 years old. And has been, is on the board of directors. They keep it close to the family there. And so they are great grandchildren of Henry Ford. And they said this, anywhere you go around the world, you find passionate Ford fans. And we want to offer them an inspiring collection of merchandise and accessories and potentially even digital products like NFTs. You know, what would be awesome is with VV, like, you know, how with Ecomi and how they have the AR and, you know, they did the Ghostbusters vehicle and the Back to the Future vehicle. Like, it would be awesome to be like, oh, I want to have I want to see Eleanor, the 1969, you know, Ford Shelby, Mustang Shelby. I'm like, and then like have that, like AR NFTs of Fords would be awesome. Not just 2D things, right?
I'm a Ford fan. I've had a Ford Explorer. I've owned two Mustangs, which I loved, a Spirit and Phantom. Fantomia was her full name, and had to leave her in Denver because she did not want to drive across the Caribbean. But yeah, fan of Ford and looking forward to seeing what
the other Ford Mustang you had. Spirit. What year was that?
It was a 2012. I got in 2012. I leased it for 3 years. And then I brought it in and I swapped it out for 2015, which I drove for 6 years. And put 13,000 miles on it. So I got a really good deal when I sold it back to the dealer.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. It's like you didn't drive that thing at all, hardly.
Not much. It was like
take a road trip though to Aspen.
Yeah, we did.
And that bad boy.
It was a great car. You mentioned this project a little earlier, a Creature World, their amazing social experiment. So what exactly are they doing?
So I talked about it real briefly, what the social experiment was, and I wasn't exactly spot on with what they did, but Danny Cole is the artist of the Creature World project. And one of the things he had a Twitter space, and this might be some things that we start doing a little bit more of, Joel, is some Twitter space things where they're starting to get quite a few people popping in on some of these. Well, there's 10,000 creatures on this, and they've said this, we're not going to put it on Rarity Tools. We're not going to let this define rarity. They're all rare. And basically, I think what they did was they took a snapshot, and then there's an airdrop from a collaboration of this, and each wallet holding a creature at the time of the snapshot was airdropped one out of seven of those collectibles. Then they had to team up with other folks to go get those other ones to put them in one wallet.
So you randos, strangers,
randomly people, you know, like, hey, you got this, will you trust me? And then they had to trust those different strangers to put all those together so they could have the different piece of the puzzle. And then they got dropped something new. So what happens is you got one thing worth $600 and now they got your creature NFT that's worth what? 2 point something ETH, 3 ETH or something. Yeah. It's just a fun experiment what they did. And I guess the people had a lot of fun and they made a lot of friends, it sounded like.
Yeah. When I bought one, because I thought, this might be worth more, but I didn't really care for the art. It just wasn't my bag. I'm not saying it's bad. It just wasn't my thing. So when I saw it go up to like almost an ETH, I flipped it. And the thing is, all of these different NFTs and these communities, they've all... The communities are very active. They're doing meetings and they're doing contests and retweet campaigns. I don't have time to participate in any of that. You know, we're too busy creating and advising and doing shows. And so I miss out on a lot of the benefits that these communities get me. So I try to buy stuff that I either think is going to have immediate value to flip, value in the long term, or stuff I just like and want to keep. That's been become my criteria, and I don't chase stuff anymore. I used to FOMO over things, and if I see gas fees through the roof, I'm like, skip it. Because I don't know if you've discovered this, but after a sale with exorbitant gas fees that are sometimes twice the price of the NFT itself, sometimes more, after gas settles down, people start flipping them, and you could often buy one off the secondary market floor before the reveal for less than the price it would have been to mint.
Sounds like I think we both need NFT assistance. Like somebody, I'm like, hey, we noticed that you have, you know what? That would be something. It's like you put your wallet in and it keeps tabs of the NFTs that you have in your ETH wallet. And then it says, oh, by the way, you have this and there's an event that's coming up that you need to be aware of. Like, oh, right. I didn't know that. Like, wouldn't that be a helpful service of some kind?
It would be a super helpful service, no doubt about it. And as long as you have an NFT assistant, an NFTistant, having them monitor upcoming stuff. Little later, we'll talk about the sites that we use, like Rarity Tools, to see what's upcoming, and I'll kind of give you my philosophy on that as well. Meanwhile, today, Sir Lord Travis, another piece of news came out from Animoca Games, which is absolutely unstoppable. I'm not going to play the music that goes with this gameplay teaser, but if you're watching the video version of this on the website at nifty.show/YouTube or nifty.show/Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E for decentralized video, you'll see that this is amazing stuff. Animoca and Blowfish Studios unveil Phantom Galaxy's sci-fi NFT game. This is top-notch stuff here, Trev. I mean, have you seen these visuals?
Yeah, I'm looking at them. It's the first time I've seen them now. Like, this reminds me of, like, Star Atlas kind of quality, right? Like, Star Atlas is doing some stuff like this, but this is amazing. So, Phantom Galaxy's NFT game, when are they coming out with the NFTs? When are they launching those?
Looks like it's going to come out on Windows and most major game consoles in 2022. So, you know, they're working on it now. It's coming. They've just announced it. So they're building this. This is just the trailer. So, you know, that they're in motion. This thing is happening. And
they're doing like one of those private sales or whatnot, or something going on with that. So keep an eye on some of those things, folks. Could be a winner. Look at it. This thing is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So play to earn. It's a big deal and it's here to stay. Speaking of play. Sports balls. That's your jam. We won't talk about the Chiefs right now, though, but we will talk about how NFTs are going to change sports ticketing.
Right. Well, we've talked, this is one of the things I referenced early on in the show, is that this is something that we've talked about for I don't know how long, right? Like, what are tickets going to do? Because for one, I mean, I think my ticket stub is over here. Yeah, hold on.
Travis is getting up to get his ticket stub. He is now returning with his ticket stub.
Yes. So I went to the best Royals game of all time, the 2014 wild card game. The Royals were down 7-2. They came back and won the game 9-8. And here's my freaking ticket stub. Look at that piece of shit. I printed it out, folded it up. It's wadded up. And here it is, whoop-de-flippin-do. And knowing that, when we started understanding NFTs, I was like, dude, someday – like all these tickets are going to be NFTs. And then whenever you come to the stadium, you can be able to unlock those NFTs because it knows you're at the geo proximity location. So we can unlock it. And maybe it could be a pack of cards or some cool collectible from that. Another thing this article is talking about, like direct sales without a third party. You don't have to worry about bullshit tickets anymore. Like, you know, they're validated because they're on the blockchain, right? And then if you sold them on the secondary market, you know, the vendor would actually get a percentage of that ticket back, right? Because a lot of times, like if I have a ticket and I find somebody on Craigslist or on Facebook Marketplace or whatever, Ticketmaster's not getting any part of that. The artist isn't getting any of that additional secondary sale, right? So there's a value of that. There's something that they're talking about, like the mint lottery, where you get a ticket to an event.
It could unlock an experience for you.
Yeah.
You know, field access, a meet and greet, merch, which can then be sold on the secondary market. Like, you know, when we look at Gary V's V Friends, they're good for 3 years. And, you know, once you have cashed in on whatever the experience or item is, then they're just NFTs. But I think that the value of those NFTs is going to go on just for the pieces after V Friends has delivered. And the same way here, that, you know, these tickets from games that have passed become collectibles.
Right. Like, I like to have a wallet where it's like, oh man, look at this concert that I went to. Like, you know, it's like, I went and saw the Rolling Stones, took my kids, and there's not going to be any more Rolling Stones concerts because Charlie Watts just recently passed away. And I'd love to have that as an NFT. And I know my kids would love to have that because they were at that live concert. I took them to see Paul McCartney, you know, like they saw a Beatle and they saw the Rolling Stones, and, you know, they're under the age of 20. And so, you know, later on down the road, be like, look at this NFTs that I was at this. Right. And like, and that's where we're heading. And that's one thing I really like about NFTs is the utility and functionality of these things. And the coughs and the sneezes.
Absolutely. So some of us know how to hit the sneeze button when we're going to do that. Speaking of Gary V, he is launching a new fine art NFT marketplace. It's called Art Official. I have not seen this yet, and this is actually the first I've heard about it. I'm looking for a link to a website. Gary is all in on NFTs and going deeper. He tweeted today a picture that was 12 book covers, and it had one of them had the name 12 and a half on it, equals, and there was this huge bag of money.
Mm.
Like, he's making promises that, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep them or not, but he's all in.
And he's making a reference to those 12 books that you bought, right? You buy the 12 books, you get some cool NFTs. Yeah, that'd be fun. So he said this: I've learned a ton with V Friends that we applied to Artificial, predominantly how most of the technology works and of the nuances of how the consumer behaves with the drops, supplies and demand, and what makes an NFT collectible market tick, and how to best position the opportunity for artists. And so they are launching Art Official. They say it's incredibly different, but at the end of the day, it's similar. At the end of the day, people are using their incredible creativity to create something that other human beings are interested in, whether that is an artist that has established themselves in the real world or whether that's an entrepreneur that creates a character-based collectible set. We have now crossed into the world where humans want to own things in the digital environment. So true.
There you go. Artificial.com is the official website, and you could see that you can bid on fine art. I don't know the difference. You know, how does somebody decide what's just art and what's fine art? Does fine art just mean it's more expensive? I mean,
I don't know. These all look very similar to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a particular, like, I'm looking at this and going, all right, well, there's music to go with it. I suppose that's fine with me. There's no video, but this piece of art, I don't find any more compelling than, it's glowing green now, than a lot of stuff I've bought for a lot cheaper. So who decides what fine art is?
Because
art
critics? It's from Francesco Clemente.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever, I'm a Luddite, so what do I know? TuneGo is launching a custom platform for music artists to get into the NFT marketplace. You make the tune, we make it go. So their platform creates a digital fingerprint for individual songs and tracks associated with metadata, and they're going to turn these into NFTs. Looks like they're running on Flow in cooperation with Dapper Labs, and music is coming to NFTs. I mean, it's already here. We've seen MBLUE do amazing stuff. Taylor Alexander on Wax has done some cool stuff. Blau has done some things with music. Muse did an NFT on Nifty Gateway that I was fortunate enough to get one of 10 of them hodling. Yeah. That is very
cool. That's pretty awesome. Also, bandroyalty.com, who we've been working with,
right,
is doing some really awesome stuff with royalties from songs. There's another one that I found recently, Joel. I don't know if you've seen this or not. It's called loudnft.co. Have you seen?
Let's pull up loudnft.co. Yeah. Here we go. We'll get that in the show notes for you guys. What is this all about?
This is something that I discovered on the Binance Smart Chain. Mm-hmm. And they're launching an NFT music. It says right there, a music NFT marketplace. It's going to launch here in a few days. They have the Loud token. Has built-in royalty features, zero fees on NFT sales, different opportunities for artists and agents to work together. So as we can see, there's the Loud ICO that popped out. They did that. Price is pretty interesting. This thing's going out. Oh, the pre-sale sold out in 3 minutes. That's pretty good.
Well, there you go. It's gone. Loud.
They had a total of 100 pre-sale. Million of those tokens.
I mean, we've known this is coming, right? The entertainment world is changing. Musicians have gotten screwed, totally, royally screwed by the music labels and the platforms, Spotify, Pandora, Apple. They are sticking it to and have been sticking it to musicians. Of course, they were having it stuck to by record labels before then, but blockchain empowers, and blockchain based platforms like Loud empower artists. And so we'll be keeping an eye on that. I would like to find, what is the official website of TuneGo? Apparently it's a live platform already, and now they're just starting with NFTs. So I'm just going to TuneGo. Here it is, TuneGo.com. You'll notice I DuckDuckGo because Google sucks and they're tracking you everywhere. DuckDuckGo is not tracking my searches at all. So I don't see anything here on the website yet about NFTs, but the news story says they're getting into them. So keep an eye on that. That's your job out there. You guys keep an eye on that, okay? Do your jobs.
Do your jobs, peoples. Yeah, it looks like the Loud token got up to about 28 cents. Now it's sitting at around 8 cents. So we'll have to see if that was just an initial pop because it, whenever it went live and what it's going to do. So I have to see.
I want to see if they fulfill on the mission, right? That's, you know, people, when we look at token prices short term, we're not focused on what are they actually doing. And mm-hmm. what they're actually doing, we're not going to see the fruits of that truly for a few years, right? Because it takes time to onboard musicians for them to become comfortable with, oh yeah, I can sell through this platform. We're going to look back. I'm again speaking from the future. It's 2024, and some mainstream big artists are now selling their music through these means. We know that's going to happen. We just don't know which platforms and chains are going to be the winner.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. I mean, every chain that's any chain, they're doing NFT stuff now, right? It's like, all right, well, we got to do the... There was a couple other ones that popped up this week that I'd never seen NFTs on before. And like, oh, here we are. There's NFTs on this one now. And so it's like, they're starting to grow. So you're going to see the chains. It kind of reminds me of like the tech bubble in 99, 2000, when Google and Amazon and some of the big ones popped through. There's going to be some that pop through that are the clear winners. And there's going to be some that just are not. Who was that one that Topps released? Like Avalanche? It wasn't that. That wasn't one. Was it?
They released on Avalanche.
Yeah, and that was a disaster. I don't know why they ended up moving off of
Wax. Yeah, I don't. What was the name of that Tezos site? Hic et nunc, which again, it's Latin. I don't remember what it means, but you know, here's a few of the other chains that Travis is talking about right here. Hic et nunc .xyz. You can get Tezos. NFTs on this site. I think
who's runs marketing for that shit? Like, that is the shittiest name.
Yeah, I think so too.
I could see that thing 20 times. I'm not going to remember how to spell
right.
it.
I agree. But the Tezos community, this is all they've got right now. So they are buying, selling, trading.
Is that a smoking condom right there?
Yep. That is a smoking
condom. I actually had a, this should actually be an NFT. I thought of this years ago. It was like a little cartoon and it was a rubber band. And it was four condoms in a band like the Beatles.
Well, there you go. Now you know. On Cardano, CNFT. is the main marketplace, and the token is CNFT. And I think, I wonder if I'm able to see mine on here, because I did pick up a few. Let's go to my dashboard here. Yep, there I am. And here's my my wallet. And I bought some of these ended up in my wallet. I don't know how they got there, but I bought a couple of these ADA monsters on Cardano. And I bought one of these, this Cardano tree. This is actually supposed to help support the planting of trees. And I don't know why it's not animated here, but all of these are animated and supposed to grow.
It's almost fall time, right? Because it used to be green.
Was it? I don't remember.
I remember when you showed me before, it was green.
Oh, well, there you go. It's changing because it's fall. I picked up one of those because that looked like fun to me. And then, of course, we're talking about Solana, you know, being the latest to really pick up and get traction. And there's a naked lady here on the Solana main page. A bunch of naked ladies.
There's all kinds of NF titties on that.
Lots of bobos there. So you got Solana penguins. You got flippies. You got floppies, apparently.
Yeah, you got the flippies and the floppies.
The things are here, and you can.
I noticed that the boob sizes were different sizes. Like, here's like some small nipples.
They're generative.
Here's the pancake nipple. Here's some small tatas. Here's some big bubbos.
Is the Meerkat Millionaires Country Club. You know, right there, the red pandas, the fud jar. So stuff is happening here on Solana as well, and of course we'll be talking about more about that in the future. What about Twisted Turtles?
In the future, have some of these folks from these different exchanges on the show.
We will. I'm sure it'll happen. What's going on with the Twisted Turtles? We heard about this project. They dropped us a couple turtle eggs, and then they, like, something weird happened with the minting and they postponed it.
Yeah. So this right here, these turtles actually hatch over time. Mm-hmm. And then you end up getting a unique random turtle, and there's some utilities that are popping up with them. They have a lot of different things, and then they come out, they're twisted, they're a little angry, they're little grumpy turtles. And have some different stuff that's going on. I think what was weird was that Twitter temporarily banned their account for some reason. So it's supposed to launch today, so I think they're holding off on the launch until they get their Twitter stuff squared away. Because what happens if you click on the Twisted Turtles, the Twitter link at the very bottom, Joel?
Let's go check out the Twitter link here at the very bottom. It is suspended for some reason. So I don't know. They're saying it was a mistake.
Yeah.
It was a mistake. Don't twist our turtles. So, you know, we talk about projects like this, and occasionally we'll get dropped NFTs, but we take them and talk about them if we think they're cool, and, you know, might mint them ourselves as well. So you guys might want to check this out, thetwistedturtles.com. And if you want to know what's going on with them, best way to do it is to go to their Discord. You'll find the link right here at the bottom, and they are not banned from there. So you can discover more
about
the turtles.
The NFTs Twitter don't want you to have.
I like turtles. By the way, that allegedly is happening. If you go to OpenSea and you go to your profile, put your Twitter account in, because Twitter is going to be able to validate from your account that you own an NFT.
Wait. Say that again.
So if you go to OpenSea and go to your settings, there's a place for your Twitter profile and for your Telegram. Put your Twitter username in there, and allegedly, that's what's going to allow you to use those NFTs in your profile pictures and validate that they're yours.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool. I like that.
So remember this meme right here, the side eye Chloe.
Yeah.
Another meme. This one sold for 25 ETH, $77,000 for side eyed Chloe.
You know what? You know what's great about that? That's just one picture. And this kid's probably now almost college age or getting close to it. Right. Here you go. Here's $70,000 for some overpriced college education where they can indoctrinate you.
Yeah, I want to see. I
mean, that's hilarious. Like, one photo that you took of your kid years later was worth, what, 25 ETH or whatever it was?
Yeah, that's 25 crazy. ETH. So I found a picture of side-eye Chloe today. Here she is. The picture was from 2013. Here she is today. She got some braces on those teeth to fix that gap. She's adorable. She's a redhead. And she's like, yeah, I'm a meme.
That's good. Wait, scroll down. It said that whenever it first happened was In September 2013, Chloe's mother, Katie, told her and her sister they were going to Disneyland, and they recorded the moment that they surprised their daughters, and then they began to cry. You know what's funny was, like, I did that. That was so, like, I had a speaking gig at Disneyland working with Disney, at Disney World, working with the Disney team on search and social media strategies back in 2014. It was January 2014, and the speaking gig was actually on the day after my daughter's birthday. And so one of the things that I did was I negotiated. I was like, well, if I'm going to Disneyland, it's my daughter's birthday. Like, let's bring the whole family. And so ended up bringing the whole family, got 3 days worth of passes for each one of us as part of the speaking gig. And when I told my daughter, I didn't tell my daughter until I think it was her birthday, the day after birthday. We kept it completely quiet because that was the day that we flew. We were flying later on that afternoon to Disney. And she was mad because she thought I was lying to her. I was like, no, we're going to go. Because I kept telling her we were going to China for her birthday. She's like, well, we're not going to China. I guess we're going to China. And then we literally, then the day we arrived, there was a get together in Epcot at the China place inside Epcot.
So I was like, here we are, side eye? In China. Oh, did you get awesome. A side eye? Did you make a meme? Did you make 75 grand?
I didn't make it? A freaking meme, though. But the video you made a
memery.
I did make a memery with my daughter. Memories. She will love forever.
A few more things coming up here. This one catches my attention because both of my kids, who are now young adults, were into collecting Neopets back in 1999. Like big, big, big. They were Neopet freaks. And I just sent this story to both of them to see that, you know, now a game is coming out with these NFTs of Neopets. So if you were a child when these came out, this is a lot of nostalgia and just more signs that we're going to enter the mainstream. It looks like these are going to be on Solana because these are being offered on Radium, right? And Radium is a Solana chain thing.
I have a good feeling about these. There's going to be 20,500 of them.
Yeah.
And wow, this is going to be the kind of thing that, man, this is going to be huge on Solana.
Yeah, Neopets is a massive brand, and this is, you know, now adults can introduce their kids to them, right? Hey, this is what I played with.
And wait a second, didn't they have, this is like, oh, you got to make sure you feed and water your pet and take it out to go poop and stuff, right?
Or I think those were Tamagotchis.
Okay.
Yeah, this was a game. This was a trading card game, and they owned a ton of these, and yeah. Have to ask my son Zach, he would know more.
I don't remember. I mean, this wasn't my age group at all, but it's definitely interesting to see these types of things popping in. Another thing that we are excited about is this right here, dustminers.com. If you've been keeping track with Bag Crypto and what we've been doing in different places, you know that if you're on our Telegram, then you've been able to mine dust on our Telegram through partnership with Kurt Braggett and the Magic Dust team. Well, now they're launching Dust Miners, and there's going to be 11,111 of these bad boys available, and this is going to allow you to mine more dust, right? So you have these, then this is actually going to be like little turbo boosters for dust mining, yeah?
Mm-hmm. On Discord, though, and you're mining your dust on Polygon as opposed to WAX, so it's cross-platform. This is launching on the 30th, and Travis and I are advisors on this team. If you go back to the last Bad Crypto episode, you'll find an interview with Big Mike from the team. There's Big Mike right there, but on Thursdays, live Nifty show, we're going to have Curdy Bot, aka Kurt Braggett, on the show, which is going to happen just a couple hours before the launch. These are the first NFTs that mine crypto for you on Polygon while you're chatting on Discord. And I think that just like we've seen over 100 different channels on Telegram become dust mines, that we're going to see a lot of these Discords kind of do the same thing, because you're going to be able to take that dust and exchange it for other NFTs or perhaps real world merch or experiences. You know, not financial advice, but could be a big deal. That's why, you know, when we talk about projects we're involved in, it's because they sold us like, yeah, we're in. This is badass. You guys are helping pioneer the future. And look at these guys. I mean, this is some of the most badass pixel art that I have seen. Truly unique stuff here with these miners. I can't wait to see what
and with utility. Like, not only are they cute and cool, but the utility of them is what makes them amazing. Look at Joel right there, dude. I love you. You got your yellow glasses on. You got your glasses. Suit right there.
Yeah.
Very looking, nice.
Looking quite dapper. Here's dude, another project. Look at
me right here with my glasses. My glasses, they look pretty sweet.
You're glassless. Here's another project that we can't tell you a whole lot about yet, but suffice to say, we're working with Sneaker Project. And this guy, Mark Skeppy, is a guy who's become a friend, who is a sneaker designer and works with, you know, big brands. Okay. I'm not going to name drop right now, but he's designed sneakers for big brands. The sneakers he creates are available in over 300 retail stores around the US. And wait until you see this NFT collection. I think the tentative launch date is Halloween, which is October 31st, 2021. Mm-hmm. And we'll have him on the show in the future and be revealing some of this incredibly dope of dope artwork. Really cool stuff.
Not summer.
No, fall. And there's going to be original. There's like going to be 10 one of one sneakers in the set that are redeemable for the actual one of one sneakers. So sneakerheads, this millions of people into sneakers, as they discover NFTs and the component that attaches them to real world sneakers. Oh my gosh, these are going to be so in demand. It's going to be huge.
So true. And you know what the thing is about those sneakers, like you're going to start seeing that really, it's like, these are authentic. Like a lot of times China's making fake sneakers. Like, I mean, I actually have a pair of Air Jordans they look exact. I've seen a real pair of them and my fake pair. And I'm sure the real pair is probably a little more comfortable than the fake pair, but I mean, you can't really tell a difference. Right. And so having that NFT and using blockchain on that is going to be huge. And then launching a whole NFT series, which actually earns you a one of one pair of shoes. Like, it's just awesome.
So drop one of the Princess Bride. Yes, that Princess Bride has sold out. So they are completely gone now. On Wax, they offered 900 packs in all. And they were $100 each, and $100 got you 10 cards. And allegedly,
good Lord, $100, that's $10 a card.
Yeah. So you'll be able to open these by the time you hear this tonight. As I'm watching it right now, it looks like the pack openings begin in about 40 minutes from now. And you can kind of see here the types of cards that are going to be available. And we've been talking about this for a long time, Travis, that these cards are scenes.
Aha, ha, ha. Here it is. Today, we're here to talk about NFTs.
I didn't
never go in again.
These are, is this the one where he says?
Inconceivable. This is inconceivable, Joel.
I don't think it means what you think that means. Let's see.
Vampire, you killed my father. Prepare to die.
I mean, classic scenes. This is stuff that you and I have been talking about, you know, for well over a year, and now it's happening. Classic scenes and some of the variations.
Wait a second. So there's only 900 packs. There's only 9,000 cards in this entire set.
Well, this is series one. They're releasing another set in a week or two. I can't remember when it is, but you could see some of the more legendary cards here. And they got my money. I mean, I'm like, yeah, it's Princess Bride. I want a Fezzik card.
Yeah. Andre the Giant. Yeah, like these are really cool. Like all the different sets of cards. So only 9,000 cards total. That's pretty rare. A lot of these cards right here are going to have some significant rarities attached to them. And you know what? We were talking about this. Luckily, it sold out, but it took a while to sell out. It didn't sell out as quick as you think it might sell out. And you know, are they marketing this stuff much or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I do know that it was less than 30 minutes for them to sell out. I mean, $100 for a pack. Look at it this way. People go and drop hundreds of dollars on ETH NFTs, one NFT, and sometimes we'll spend $100, $200, $300 or more on gas. Okay. Right. And they're trained to do that. On Wax, people have been trained to spend $1, $2, $3 on a card until MLB came along and the price started going up. And now they're pushing the envelope saying, you know what? Why aren't these NFTs worth as much as as ETH base? I'll tell you what, if Princess Bride had come out on Ethereum, they would have done millions and they would have done it quickly.
Right.
But I love
what they probably would have done is made millions, but they probably would have had way less cards. delighting way less people overall, right? I mean, but so only 9,000 cards is what came out in this first series. That's not a lot of cards. We see all day long people are paying 0.07 or 0.1 ETH for one card out of 10,000, right? But those are normally one of ones. These weren't one of ones, but still very rare and limited overall.
If you want to check other drops that are coming up, niftydrops.io is I have a few go-tos that I go through.
Oh, look at that.
This is cool. Yeah, this is very cool. The universe in a cube. For whatever reason, there's not a live link there, but those are cool. And there's another art piece that I saw. Maybe I saw it on, there's the universe in a cube.
Right there.
So this actually launches on Wednesday at 6 o'clock Eastern. And it's a gamified project for collecting NFT objects that bring you a remarkable experience of space travel, exploration, and discovery. 0.09 ETH each. Right now, Ethereum, about $3,000. That is $270 plus gas for one of these. So there's just no excuse for the Princess
Bride. Well, each pack contains 2 to 5 cubes.
Oh, there you go.
So that tells me that there's going to be probably, if you do the math on that, there's 10,000 packs. Each one's going to have 2 to 5 in it as well. And so that tells me what, probably 25,000 total cubes maybe?
Yeah, nice. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. Universe in a cube.
I like those. Those look sexy, Joel.
Meow. And also, we like to use rarity.tools to see what's new and to check the rarity on different projects. So I have continued to do my research and poke in to see, all right, how many of these have sold. For example, I haven't looked at these yet. Golden Eagles, -cartel.io. Let's connect the old wallet here. Hello, connect with browser wallet, do the thing, do the deal. Does it tell you how many have been minted? It's not even connecting. It's acting like, so really hard to mint stuff if you, okay, there you go. So is that how many have been minted or is that how many are left?
That's how many are left.
You sure?
Probably. I don't know.
I think that's how many have been minted. I think the next one you mint is 8,598. So, you know, at that price, that's not too bad. I'll go ahead. I'll jump in there and toss. Am I on the right chain?
That is one shitty URL, though, isn't it?
It is a horrible URL. Let's see here. Let's check out the Caring Creatures. Not exactly my kind of artwork, but. You know, somebody might like this. I think they're kind of shooting off the other creatures thing here. And let's connect the wallet. Usually they'll show you, you know, up front, once you connect your wallet, how many have been minted. So I'm looking, it says mint here. Their pre-sale is on right now, so it's still new. But my point in looking through these is to see how many of these are actually selling. You know, how many are people buying? Look at these beauties right here. This is the other art project I was referencing. Infinity Labs, Scenes from the Soulverse. This is a Solana project. I'm gonna turn the music off, but I'm gonna play this video and check out these. It's like this gallery of actual art. They're not like creatures or, you know, animals. There's really baller looking artwork. Right?
It is. That is amazing looking artwork right there.
And they're launching before
that's
the show.
That's not generative. That is individual one-of-ones, right?
Mm-hmm, I think so. 2.5 Solana each. And I guess that happens here. By the time that you guys hear or see the show, it'll have happened already. So if you want to check it out and see if there's any left, if you like them, infinitylabsnft.com is the site to find that.
And a friendly reminder, Joel, eternalroyals.io. They they're going to start popping off here shortly, right?
Yeah, they actually pushed to tomorrow. They've made a few changes and variations. So any of these projects that you're involved in, make sure you go in the Discord and check the latest announcements. And again, it's really hard to keep up. You need an NFT assistant to do so. But, a lot of them, they don't want to make the mistakes of others and put it out there before it's ready and have, people have minting issues or their wallet's not connecting or the artist is like last minute creating some super cool new variations and they want to get them in there. I think it's always better to postpone, especially if you've got that pressure to buy that's built in because people are going to buy it.
That's what it is on this right here is that it just seems to me that the artwork on Eternal Royals is so cool that, I got on the whitelist. I just checked it. My whitelist is good. But now the pre-sale begins on Thursday at September 30th at 6 p.m. Pacific. So I'm going to need to be near my computer at that time to be able to snag in, to be able to log in and grab those because I want to grab a few of these bad boys.
Because we're going to be wrong.
Not be surprised if this whole thing gets sold out in the pre-sale to the whitelist.
I don't know. I just know they're really cool. And one of the things, I'll turn off the sound there so you guys don't have to hear that. One of the things that's so cool about it is that if you own two, then if you own 10, you get an actual 60x30 canvas print of one of the ones that you own. So yeah. You're going to be able to choose from 10 that you own to get a physical print from this artist, Jesse Johnson. There he is. And these are going to be amazing.
Yeah, these are so cool. Like, I just love, there's just something that's timeless about these because mm-hmm. there's no face. These, and they're called Eternal for a reason. They just seem to me like there's anybody's faces in this thing. Like,
except unless you're a plague doctor. If you're a plague doctor, there's your face. Or if you are wearing the mask here of what's his puss, the French dude,
Guy Fawkes.
Yes, Guy Fawkes. Then that's on there as well. Yeah, I agree. And what's really interesting about this is you and I both have a feeling about this. These are going to sell out super fast. Is what makes for a great NFT sale? How do you know which of these are going to sell out and potentially be good investments as NFTs? And that's something that I'm still exploring and, trying to figure out as I look through these. A lot of the research I do is about stuff that's happened already to try and go, all right, they only sold a couple thousand of these, but the community keeps going and they keep selling and they keep selling over time. Some of them will cut off the numbers that they're going to mint. Some of them will come back and say the community has spoken. And if you've already minted one, you can mint another one for free plus gas. All these different solutions that are usually community driven. And there's no definitive answer yet that that we can say this is what makes for a great NFT launch. However, we can say this. Here's a few components that definitely play into it. A, the artwork, right? People have to like the artwork. B, the community. Are they doing a good job of building a community that is engaging? And that has to do with numbers. Also has to do with marketing. How well are they putting the messaging out there across different social channels to make this thing successful and engage people? And then there's the roadmap. Like, where is this going? Is this just hey, we're going to sell these and enjoy them. There's your art and go. Or is there a plan for it? Can you think of other components that would?
Well, I mean, you just kind of covered most all of them, but definitely that utility thing is becoming more and more important. Right. Like, for example, with this Eternal Royals, if you get 10 of them, then you get to have an actual printed on canvas delivered to your house. Like, because you've put in some significant dollars, 10 of these is going to cost you what? How much is it? 0.7. So it's going to 10 of these going to cost you 0.7 ETH. Like, that's a couple grand. Right. And so for that couple grand, you actually get a physical print mailed to you. Like, that's pretty legit. So having utility, I think, is important. You mentioned the marketing aspect, getting people excited about it, maybe out and driving up your community. If you don't have a good community that's excited about what you're doing, then it's going to be hard to sell out your stuff. So, marketing, having a community, having great utility, Those are all very important things, and having them on a chain that that people are willing to jump through hoops to participate on, right? So if you're on ETH or Solana or Wax or Flow, you know, people are familiar with those. Some of these other ones, they're not necessarily familiar. However, there could be a huge community over there that just has so much cryptos that they've grown and want and are looking for ways to utilize it. I think that was a thing with Cardano potentially, and then also with Solana. Like, they, people have all the Solana they've been growing, and they're like, oh, I want something to spend my Solana on now. And now some sweet ass NFTs are popping up.
Chain of fools. Speaking of fools, join us in our Hero Discord. We are making announcements about the new Blockchain Heroes Retro Rebellion set due to come out early November. Some of the badassest NFTs that we've ever released. This is our fourth edition. Zach is absolutely blowing it away. Our artists are knocking it out of the park, and we are going to be introducing staking. So join the Discord. We've shut down the Telegram. badco.in/discord is where all things Bad Crypto, Nifty Show, Nifty Box, Blockchain Heroes, Travis and Joel, all located there. So come be a part of that community.
Yeah. And speaking of Zach, after episode number 100, Zach will be coming on and doing shows with Joel here on the Nifty Show. And then I will just be a correspondent every now and again, jumping in. It's like, I'm launching a new show called the Epic Shit Show. And that's coming up. I'll be launching that here shortly, getting all that stuff all squared away. So it's like, we were having all these calls and meetings and recordings. And I was like, I need to pare down on some of this stuff. And let's see if Zach might be down to participate here on the Nifty Show, because he's part of the family. And he's so much part of the family that Joel helped made him. Joel minted Zach.
Well, I did half of the minting anyway.
You did half of the minting process. Right.
Yeah. So this has been great, you know, hosting the show with you. Of course, we're still doing Bad Crypto together. As of episode 101, the Nifty Show will be Joel and Zach, and Travis will pop in whenever he wants to pop in. He's always welcome here, and the show must go on.
Yeah. Joel fired me.
That's almost true. It's not quite true. It's almost true though.
It's not
really true at all. All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching, listening. Got a great show for you coming up on Thursday's live show, 5 o'clock Eastern at nifty.show/YouTube. Or if you want to give the middle finger to Google, join us. I'm testing out the live stream on Odyssey, which is the decentralized streaming live video platform. It's live video. It's been only, static video. Pre-recorded video to this point, but I'm going to be testing out the live stream. So you could try that as well. nifty.show/Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E. And let's see, you know, follow us over there and let's build community that can't be taken down by big tech.
There you go. That's what we need, because big tech is can suck a big, you know, bag of them. So
yeah,
not a big fan. You know, what's so crazy is like, it's like, I think about this, like, you know, big tech, when it started popping out, you know, in the 90s, like, I was so excited to build websites and learn about this and SEO and paid search and content and mobile and like this whole, like, it's like we're part of help propping up this thing that eventually becomes something that is not great for society. So hopefully crypto and NFTs are better for society.
I hope so too. Thanks, everybody. Travis, take us home.
Keep it nifty, bitches.